It's time to talk college hoops. Broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All studios at The Avenue, this is ESPN Wisconsin College Game Night.
Wow, I get a little goosebumps when I hear that music. I don't know about you, Alex Stroff. My name is Ben Brust. It's just Ben Brust and Alex Stroff Hour. Who left us alone right now? I'm not going to lie. This doesn't feel real.
We bullied our way onto the air. Snow is flying here in downtown Milwaukee. They say, yeah, weekly wager. We don't want to put anybody at risk.
We're here.
So us two lunatics say, hey, Brian D., director of content, we're going to be here anyway. You might as well give us some airtime. He says, no. And then we say, but wait a minute. We want the airtime. You always tell us to ask on. And he finally goes, fine, you can do the damn show.
And then he had to figure out the back end.
Yeah, and he was not happy about that. But here we are.
We're not worried about the back end anymore. The back end got figured out. We're here with you, all of, I was going to say KBN Nation, but it is a college basketball special tonight with Ben Brust and Alex Stroff. And if you want to get involved, you know I will always welcome at 800-990-3776 is the Carbless Talk and Text Line. I have no idea. Are we going to be on YouTube?
We are on YouTube right now.
Sweet.
At ESPN Milwaukee, yeah.
Sweet. We're streaming on YouTube at ESPN Milwaukee. You can interact with us there. But I have, I would say, worthy of, like, you know, I throw out the breaking news sounder way too much on Kyle Brust and Ortman 2 to 5 on 94.5 ESPN. But this is worthy of breaking news.
Now this is some breaking news.
My name is Ben Brust, and I am rooting for Marquette to go to the Final Four.
Huh?
Yes.
What do you mean?
What I mean is, every year, as Strophy and I will text about college basketball late at night, we'll be joined by Colin Russo. You maybe heard him across ESPN Wisconsin during Wisconsin College game day before Badger football games. He's now a host at our sister station, ESPN West Palm, and is the son of sports radio icon Christopher Mad Dog Russo. Colin Russo will be joining us. He will get in on the shenanigans. Every year for the last 6 years, I have done something with a group of buddies where in January, you take the top 40 teams based off the metrics of KenPom, and you auction, and there's a new auction style this year, which made it very difficult because you pick out teams, we meet before, like, who do we like? Who do we not like? Let's just say a team named the Marquette Golden Eagles popped up, and I didn't put the Knicks on saying, nope, I won't do it. I had an inkling that if we auctioned on Marquette at a certain price, I had a feeling that they could be a Final Four team. So we are heavily invested, our crew named Team Chemistry, in Marquette going far in the tournament so we can feed the family of Ben Brust and his daughter.
All right, a couple of things. Have you in the past shut down the idea of drafting Marquette?
Yes. There is somebody in our group that graduated from the University of Missouri. And if you've listened to John Anderson on our airwaves, formerly, no, still with ESPN, now teaching at Mizzou, they hate Kansas.
They do.
With a passion.
They do.
He has put the you cannot bet or auction on Kansas rule on our team. I have typically abided by that as it pertains to Marquette. But for some reason, I had a really good feeling about them. And I'm not going to lie, this is a good time to talk about how I just talked to Homer. You know, we talk Badgers, Marquette. And I'm a little worried from what I've seen from the Golden Eagles the last three or so games, despite, you know, DePaul being one of those wins. There was UConn, St. John's.
St. John's is good.
St. John's very good, but again, they were in that game. Creighton, they had lost their last three games against quality opponents and then beat DePaul by 10. It wasn't 10 the prettiest.
Win. Only scored 68 points.
I know, like, without Cam Jones going off, I'm nervous as hell that this team, if they don't shoot well, are going to get knocked out of the tournament early. And here I am, knowing way too much about Marquette basketball, and all my love is to Cam Jones making every shot.
Well,
and Stevie Mitchell being a hero as just a great college basketball player.
So here's the thing with Marquette.
David Joplin's driving me nuts.
Yeah, you
Chase
should.
Ross is electric and amazing, but he's limited offensively.
Super limited, but God, is he fun to watch. Yeah, I mean, when you look at Marquette's last five games, this is the total points they have scored offensively. 78, 69, 64, 67, 68.
Instead of holding up a deflection sign after every media timeout that you see on TV.
Points!
We just need a point scored sign. How are we doing? In those 4 minutes, how many points did we score in every media timeout? Because that's what I'm worried about right now. Can this team consistently score against good teams where they're going to be like, hey, Cam Jones, are you going to be able to get 20 plus? Because if you are, it better not be efficient. We're going to try and make you do it on 18 shots. Because then they're like, hey, Stevie Mitchell, beat us. Chase Ross, be an offensive hero. And David Joplin, well, as we talked about actually earlier today on Kyle Bruston-Ortman, he might look like the next coming of a first-round lottery pick and then next look like somebody I don't want to see on the floor anymore.
Yeah, he certainly has that. I mean, just looking at a shot chart the last couple games. DePaul last night, 3 for 11, 7 points. Creighton.
At home there. At home against a team where it's like you hit those, you get the rhythm back.
You should kill DePaul, right? No ifs, ands, or buts about it. They stink.
They stink.
And you beat them by 10 points. In that loss to Creighton on Saturday, 77-67 loss for the Golden Eagles. David Joplin, 22 points. That's pretty good, right, Benny?
Yeah, how many shots?
22.
Yikes.
8 for 22 for David Joplin in a game-high 22 points the other night. Against St. John's, he was 2 of 6 for 5 points, 4 of 10 against UConn for 13 points. So he's been very hit and miss offensively.
So should I feel, according to the spreadsheet for this Calcutta, it's called, there is a certain amount of distance Marquette needs to go for us to be profitable on our investment in Marquette. Can you take a guess on what round in the tournament Marquette needs to go in order for us to be profitable?
Elite Eight?
They need to be Elite Eight losers for us to be profitable.
Oof.
Now, it's definitely doable, as we saw last year. Made a little run, ran into the NC State buzzsaw, but they did have, yes, as Rich Pecker and Spread Eagle chimes in on the Carbless Talk and Text line, he's very confused. Brust is a Marquette fan? Yes, if you're tuning in, I am Ben Brust. That is Alex Strofe. This is a College Hoop special. I need Marquette to go to at least the Elite Eight to make money on an investment I made in January. I'm thinking they were going to be hitting a stride in February. Instead, I'm sitting here with you on February 12th, nervous about how far they can actually go in the tournament.
Let's dive into this a moment. I've got good news and bad news for you. Which one do you want first?
What's our rule on KBN?
Bad news first. Yeah, the bad news is they're going to be like a 5 seed at this rate. And they're going to see some, you use the term buzzsaw, they're going to see some buzzsaws
like,
early
like
and
if they make it out of the first two rounds and it's like a 5-4, if they win that 5-4 and face an Auburn or a Duke,
I think it's over the Sweet 16. Yeah,
over the Sweet 16. And then I'm losing money on Marquette. So I decide to become a Marquette fan. I want to know if Marquette fans will welcome me, first and foremost, because I haven't necessarily over the last 8 years of being on at ESPN Wisconsin been overly nice to the program.
Yeah, that would be a word. I would probably choose a different one. But yeah.
In their drought of not winning a tournament game.
Rude.
Very rude.
Mean.
Insert adjective here.
Right.
I was that. Richard.
Yeah, you're that regardless.
I was a big Richard towards Marquette when they couldn't get out of the first round.
You're still a big Richard.
I mean, Ja Morant was dunking all over them in the 5-12 upset, and all I heard was, we got the worst draw. No, you haven't won a tournament game.
Yeah,
and now they made it to a Sweet 16 last year. And I was hoping that Shaka, the coach that he is with the experience, despite the drought that he was in, would be able to build upon the aura that he had been providing to you on a YouTube show you've done with him. We've heard the statements. You only go to Marquette for what reasons, Alex Strofe?
Victory, relationships, and growth. I said that in the wrong order, though.
No, you're not even hitting the quote I was looking for. You don't need to go anywhere. The next place you're going to go to Marquette is the NBA.
Sure. I thought you were quizzing me.
No, I don't need the Marquette internal slogans and core values of how they play basketball.
EGBs, baby.
I need them to make it further, and I have very big doubts on the makeup of the team right now, what I've seen throughout the last four games, that this team can go to an Elite Eight.
Well, the good news I have for you is something you just riffed on. They have experience. They have an older roster in terms of the guy that see a lot of their minutes, and they
Why
have a national player
that?
Of the year.
In our spreadsheet, we usually look at teams as we're doing research. We look at that experience column because it's this guy's a guru.
What is this thing called again?
It's a Calcutta.
What does Calcutta mean?
It just means you auction on teams and you get certain teams.
I've never heard this word in my life.
Some people do it after the bracket is out. Because then you have more information. Sure. What makes ours harder is in January. Like right now, transparently, we have Pittsburgh for a certain amount of money. They're not going to make the tournament at this rate. And so our investment goes to bleep.
They've had a rough go.
Very rough go. So I'm not here to talk about Pittsburgh. I'm just saying here that's how it works.
But to your point,
we also have Tennessee, who can make a Final Four, and we make money on them.
Yeah, they're solid.
We have Michigan, who continues to win close games and could be a good seed. And if they make it to the Sweet 16, we're making money on them. So there's other teams we have, but Marquette was one that we invested heavily in as a potential Final Four team. And now we're sitting here and we're talking about, holy cow, if they face a big team, will they be able to hang with them and rebound? If they face a team that's good defensively, that shuts down Cam Jones, do they have enough pieces to get the job done in a tight game, which they're showing over the last three games against quality opponents, I should be absolutely worried. We will get to the Wisconsin Badgers because I think they're a fascinating case because I, as a former Badger who played for the program, am still in shock at what I've been seeing. I saw Greg Gard against their last opponent, and I'm blanking. I have the video. I can find it in a second, but the point still remains. There was a missed shot by the opposing team. This is the Wisconsin Badger basketball team with Greg Gard at the head coach. It was a missed shot from the left wing and hit the back iron and started rolling towards Coach Gard. And there was nobody in sight other than one red jersey on the Badgers. And Gard's yelling, grab it. And he's doing the wind like he's sending somebody on third base to home. I said, what in the damn hell is this? Gardo saying, keep the live ball and go? So I'm still taken aback as a former Badger.
It's a new brand of basketball that they're playing right now. And are you referring to the Iowa game over the weekend?
There it is. And Iowa is a fast-tempo team. The way we used to play Iowa was don't play fast. Make them play slow. Make them grind it up with us. And I was like, this is crazy. I'm watching a Badger team play fast. But not only play fast, win games, be near the top of the Big Ten standings when they were picked anywhere from 10th to 12th in the standings in the preseason to being a legitimate threat in the NCAA tournament due to the old school, not old school, I would say the most successful Wisconsin teams under Gard or Bo, every guy on the floor has the ability to dribble, pass, and shoot, and especially be a threat from three. So when I see that threat, I'm like, oh my gosh, they're playing fast and they're like continuously scoring. I keep waiting for the game where I'm like, huh, are they going to keep scoring? And they keep scoring. So I just got to believe that they can continue to do so. And we'll get to the pieces that have been able to do that throughout this program as it's Ben Brust and Alex Strofe with you till, I guess, whenever we want on a College Hoops Nightly Special.
I just like to remain employed. That's my only request from you.
Well, then you're going to have to get us out and make sure that we don't miss any programming or commercials we're not supposed to miss.
Okay, we can do that. Colin Russo is going to join us coming up next.
Is he going to be on YouTube at ESPN Milwaukee?
As long as he can hear us, which I'm not sure if he can.
Oh, I see that ugly mug in an apartment somewhere in West Palm Beach, Florida. Joining us next.
We're back with more ESPN Wisconsin College Game Night after this on ESPN Wisconsin.
Fine. All right, Richmond hasn't had a great year, but I anticipate them to have a good one tonight. Rich, what? Richmond, Hard Rock Bank, college basketball. Fine. All right, Richmond hasn't had a great year, but I anticipate them to have a good one tonight. Rich, what? Richmond.
Joining us now is somebody who lost me money yesterday. So confident, full of East Coast confidence that is just fraudulent. His name is Colin Russo. He hosts at one of our sister stations down at ESPN West Palm, 4 to 6. Make sure you check him out, but don't listen to betting advice. His name is Colin Russo. Colin, welcome to the ESPN Milwaukee College Hoops Special until we want to end the show. It's Ben Brust and Alex Strofe with you.
Richmond. Let's go, Ben Brunt. So how we doing? What's going on, fellas?
Why are you still screaming this?
Richmond.
I'm sitting on my couch last night watching a 8-15 Richmond team plus 5.5 grind against Loyola Chicago, and they come all the way back just to go to overtime, not to cover. And you're still screaming, Richmond at me.
Ben, it was a classic. Let's be honest. That was a great, great game.
It was a classic that nobody will ever remember.
So you're saying if ESPN Classic still exists, tonight we'd have Richmond Loyola on that channel.
Well, I was watching that, and I was thinking that last possession of the game, Loyola Chicago had it, and they were hot. So I was thinking, I'm like, honestly, we're better off with them scoring here and just winning by two and ending off the game and just covering and getting out.
But
part of me was thinking, Richmond. And then they come out into OT. Ben, you saw it. They hit like 5 threes on 6
They had two guys hit 7 threes. Loyola Chicago had career high nights.
Oh, you really were watching this?
Yes. I'm sitting on ESPN Plus on my phone.
I love it.
On Twitter while I'm watching the game in the top right. And for the record, for all those who are like me that like have a fear of missing out, make sure you get the biggest size iPhone. It might not fit in your pocket, but it's really useful when you're trying to watch games on your phone.
One thing about that game is...
No, I'm done with the game. I'm done with the game. Are you going to provide any value to the listeners in Wisconsin about Marquette or Wisconsin? Are you just going to relive a loss that lost us money in your 1-3 parlay?
What? Richmond.
All right. So Ben, being a former starter, I should say, on a good Badger team.
Yeah, he was a starter. That's accurate.
Set the all-time three-point record. You better start putting some respect on the name.
All right.
Cool.
And... Strofe, who I guess is just a guy who watches the games as well. Of those two guys, where
who are you on your high horse?
Yeah, who are you?
You were some drunk that graduated from Madison 10 months ago. What do you mean?
So Strofe just watches the games. Ben actually was on the team, so we established that. Number two, where is the ceiling? I'm curious on your perspective before we really dive into it. Wisconsin Badger basketball, are we drinking the Kool-Aid? Is this a different year? Is this a different song? Or is this the same song, different year?
I'm in on the Kool-Aid.
So it's a different year. It's 110% a different year because they're playing different. And my thing is, Colin, all I'm asking for, because I think Guard gets a bad rap because of the lack of tournament success, which he should, but he doesn't get enough credit, obviously, for... 2020, winning 8 games to win a share of a Big Ten title. Johnny Davis here won a Big Ten title. Those are all great things. But you and I and Alex Strofe know that nobody cares about any of that. All they care about, the masses start watching when you hear the CBS theme song and you know that everything's on the line for the NCAA tournament. I need a Sweet 16. I need it because the rule is in college basketball, if you make it out of the first weekend, I'm doing the anything can happen. You don't know what the matchup will be. You just got to get out of the first weekend to give everyone hope for the program moving forward. Because the last thing that you want, after doing a complete overhaul of the offense, their tempo's up ridiculously. I do this nerdy spreadsheet thing where I auction on teams. I look every year for the last 5 years. They're in the bottom 30 of 350-plus teams in NCAA in tempo. They are 150 to 175 in tempo and top 25 in offensive efficiency. So you're playing faster and you're consistently scoring at a high clip. That is different than anything we've seen from Badger team, even when I was there. We were efficient, but we were still slow. So my point is, if you change the style of play and then get the same results, what does it matter?
My point is, so I agree with you. Good stuff there, Ben. Look at Ben.
Don't good stuff me. We can dump you at any second, and Strofe and I will be just fine until 7 o'clock.
Or 8.
All right. Does this not worry you? Because every time I see a big that is worth half of a roster spot on a good college team, the Stephen Crowell, like he has been for 4 years, because of the individual defense he applies on other opposing bigs, he gets absolutely demolished. There's good guards everywhere. There are good guards in every league, every conference. There's good guards
Badgers
in every
got
team
some.
In that tournament.
They got Blackwell and Tanjay. Dogs.
Fine. You know what the difference is between the great teams and the good teams? Is bigs.
Get the hell out of here. Guard play is what wins in March.
Right. Is this a guard, Ben Bruss talking? Ben, who is the best player on those two teams?
Ben Bruss, Josh Gosser, Trey Jackson, and Bronson Koenig. All the guards.
Yeah, they were the best ones.
Who's Sam Decker and Frank Kaminsky?
Right. Who are those two? Point is, the bigs really worry me, and Wisconsin does not. They have a chance this Saturday. I'm into the game this Saturday. They have not had a big, big win. If you want to count Arizona and run away with it, please be my guest. Arizona has had their ups and downs. They're playing a little better now, but they were terrible to start the year. Other than that, UCLA, they didn't win. Illinois, they didn't win. There's a lot of games.
You can't do the Illinois thing when Illinois was in the early Big Ten season right around when they played Arizona. So now you're contradicting yourself.
My point being, they do not – all the good teams – Maryland, they didn't beat. Good teams in the Big Ten – Maryland's good. All the good teams in the Big Ten, they have not beaten yet. They have not shown that ability yet.
All right. I hear your question. And you bring up a good point. Unfortunately, I have to say it. You bring up a good point. Because Strof and I were in awe of this 4-point-a-game, 10-minute guy that has turned into an absolute stud for UCLA. He is 7'3". His name is Adeyemara.
Mara. What was his name?
Mara.
He is now a staple for UCLA's roster.
Oh, is he now?
Oh, he plays 20, 30 minutes a game now.
Just like he did
and
that.
And guess who opened up that can of worms?
That would be the Wisconsin Badgers.
Stephen Crowell and the Wisconsin Badgers. So you make a good point.
Crowell can't guard a parked car, especially if they're a good opposing big. He makes me very, very nervous, and I don't trust Winter as the back end. And college is made by its bigs. The big
college is made by its bigs.
He's right, though. I mean, remember DJ Burns at North Carolina State last year?
Oh, did they win a championship?
They got to the Final Four.
Are your UConn teams winning because of big play?
UConn had a great big. Purdue had a great big. All of these teams have great bigs. There's good guards on every team. But if you have a great big, it's a much bigger rarity in college basketball to have a great big. Wisconsin does not have that.
So you're saying Colin Russo on the record right now, Stephen Crowell will be the reason why Wisconsin doesn't go far in the tournament because he can't guard
Richmond
a parked car.
Does that make you – am I wrong in this, Ben? We've seen the same thing from him every single year. He's got that tentative 3-point shot that he's either way on or way off.
Yeah,
never,
it's a sidewinder. It makes me nervous. Every time he shoots, it's like a load-up, put it on the left side of the body, and he shoots across his body. I'm like, ugh.
So what about what about Purdue on Saturday then, Colin? Right? I mean,
so Purdue's an interesting matchup because they don't have that elite big this year, but their guards are great. They got good guards. Here's your opportunity. I never drink the Wisconsin Kool-Aid. I'm done doing the same cycle every year with Wisconsin. I need to see it before I believe it. I am no longer jumping on the bandwagon, maybe because I'm separated from the state. Maybe this is why I think like this. But if they are able to prove a point on Saturday, and Purdue's going to be coming up a loss, Wisconsin's going to have a long week coming into it. If they're able to prove a point and beat Purdue, who has had their ups, had their blows, but has beaten a lot of great teams, Alabama included, then I'll start to buy into the changed team. But until then, these games make me very, very nervous. That Ohio State game.
I want to take a time out here. It's Colin Russo from our great sister station, 106.3.
The name of the show is Russo and Rizzo.
Yeah, the Nepo show down at ESPN West Palm.
The Nepo baby show.
Yes, I'd like to take a little history lesson for you here. The most valuable player in the Final Four, 2013 guard Luke Hancock, 2014 guard Shabazz Napier, 2015 guard Tyus Jones, 2016 guard Ryan Arcidiacono, 2017 guard Joel Berry II, 2018 guard Dante DiVincenzo, 2019 guard Kyle Guy, 2021 guard Jared Butler, 2022 wing Ochai Agbaji, 2023, you get your guy Sanogo. 2024, Tristan Newton. It's the land of the bigs in the NCAA tournament. The bigs are the reason, yet the most valuable players are guards.
Except the last 3 years?
One thing I'll say is, of those teams you just named, I'm struggling to think of one team, maybe that Baylor team, that did not have a very good big to a great
Oh,
big
that
on
Baylor
that
team was so good. Davion Mitchell and Jared Butler.
Yeah, they had four guards that pressed full court. They hit shots. Matthew Mayer was an all-do-it-all guy. Fine. But those Villanova teams had good bigs, too. That was the Eric Pascal, Amari Spellman years.
He's not a big. Pascal was a stretch four. Now you're stretching your take right now.
But
a YouTube commenter does bring up a good point because I do have PTSD from this. You should have mentioned this one because I would have gave you a pass on bringing up something early in the Big Ten season. The way that Danny Wolfe and Vlad Goldin of Michigan were able to dominate the bigs. You got a trend. And I think because traditionally Purdue does have a massive big, now they don't have their traditional 7'3" guy.
No more Zach.
That's
Edie,
on retainer.
God.
You know, they
he
breed
was there 100
there.
Years.
Now, the one thing you mentioned, Michigan. I don't want to dive too far into it, but Michigan is a team to me because of those two bigs that can do a lot of damage with the right matchups in the NCAA tournament. Having a
that's
big,
that's good.
Is
I have them in
luxury.
My Calcutta thing. I just mentioned to the audience a little bit earlier.
So Ben, from my perspective here, that Michigan, there's bigs, and whenever they're exposing Crowell, we're in a lot of trouble. That, to me, makes me a little nervous about drinking the Kool-Aid because they don't have a marquee win other than Arizona. You want to run away with it, be my guest. And they struggle against a great big. Even did last year. Illinois with their great big the years before with that big kid. I can't remember where he transferred to. Don Danger. They struggled.
Dane Danger.
Against bigs.
His name was not Don. His name was Dane.
Don Danger. Dane Danger. Great name, by the way. Now
fantastic.
On Memphis.
Right. Now, so shifting off of Wisconsin really quick, I want to segue really quick.
To what?
Marquette.
Okay, all right, I'll let you do it. I just thought you were going to start
talking
about
Ben Bruss, Alex Drove, Colin Russo
here. I thought
you
were going to talk about Danny Hurley's assistant, Luke Murray.
Were you going to shut down if I brought up Mississippi Valley State at a conference preseason?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Mississippi Valley State and McNeese State and talking about
McNeese,
Luke Murray.
McNeese, actually, good team. Good team. Could be a Sweet 16 team.
Bill Mary's son, who Colin Russo loves.
I thought they were going to beat Gonzaga in the first round of that tournament.
Shut up. Get to Marquette.
Really quickly. Mississippi Valley State did just play one home game.
No! Marquette now!
They played one home game from November 4th through January 11th.
Are you talking about
that, he's talking about Marquette.
No, he's not.
I'm not talking about Marquette.
No, he's not.
You have 10 seconds to pivot to Marquette.
All right. Here's the thing about Marquette. Marquette does what Marquette does great every year, but I think the good part is they have a great perimeter wing scorer. Cam Jones was there last year, but he's much better this year. I love Stevie Mitchell. I'd be surprised if Bruss didn't love him either. I think Stevie Mitchell.
Yeah, he's the ultimate college hoops guy.
He's the ultimate, yes. He is the ultimate college hoops guy. But with Marquette, sort of the same thing makes me nervous. I think the great big could give that team some trouble. I don't trust, like, Joplin and Gold. I don't trust those guys in a big spot. They have the great guards. They're great in the perimeter, but another team that's been plagued by March. So the bigs make me nervous there because who about the great teams? Duke is huge. Auburn has Brome, who is huge. There's all these teams.
You got an infatuation with these big dudes.
Yeah, you love big dudes.
But to his point, I agree.
All right, who goes further in the tournament? Who goes further in the tournament?
Put your stamp on it right now. 212-25, Colin Russo, Marquette or Wisconsin? Who goes further?
I can't believe I'm saying this. I cannot believe I'm saying this. Wisconsin.
That's my gut right now. Because even though we talked about the issues of the Stephen Crowell interior against bigs, they do have the consistent scoring to will them to a victory on a neutral court.
What a blessing in disguise getting rid of Storr was.
Oh, big time.
I mean, he's counting his money on the bench. I tell you that much, though.
He's barely playing.
Oh, my God. I hated Storr when he was there. I thought he was erratic. I thought he was a black hole offensively.
Reminds us a lot of you on the radio. Erratic and a black hole.
Well said.
Look at Bruss. He's a little fiery today. I got to tell you about a couple of schedules after this. But really,
you get the schedules, you're done.
I love Tanjay. I think Tanjay is a classic slasher. He hits a three here and there. He's pretty good at shooting, but his real namesake is going down to the basket. I love that, and so that was a huge blessing in disguise, getting rid of, or letting him walk, I should say, A.J. Storr, and taking, what a surprise John Tanjay has been. Everybody else, Cameron Hunter, Xavier Amos, you know.
All right, enough. You've gone too deep. You get 30 seconds on whatever you want. This is like pardon the interruption, you get 30 seconds. Colin Russo, go.
All right, so Mississippi Valley State is 3-21. 3-21. Mississippi Valley State in November went to Iowa State. They played Mississippi University for women's men's team at home. Then they went to Missouri, to Texas, to Kansas State, to BYU, to Utah, and then to UCSB, Santa Barbara, in a row. Then they start out in December. They play at Liberty, at North Texas, at Tulsa.
You got 5 seconds. Make it fast.
A lot of road games.
Then they start January, Alabama State on the road and Alabama A&M on the road before they go back. How about that for an out-of-conference? Talk about keeping the lights on. I mean, taking all those bye games? Oh, God.
Okay, what I was going to ask is, do you have a bet of Mississippi Valley State tonight, or are you just giving us the schedule run that they had?
That's a good point. Are they playing tonight? Let's find out.
You're a big dumb idiot. This is it. I'm done.
Yep,
thanks,
I'm done with them, too. That was 15 minutes. 15 minutes too long.
21,
nope.
Home against Alabama.
Yeah, I'm done. I'm done.
I did the liberty of clicking the drop.
Okay. Yes. Good minds take a look. All right, so you think Wisconsin gets further than Marquette. Colin thinks Wisconsin gets further than Marquette. I will tell you my pick coming up next.
Yes, 800-990-3776. Who goes further as it stands right now with what you know? Wisconsin, Marquette. Maybe you throw UWM in. Maybe Green Bay rolls the tourney Horizon League.
Doug Gottlieb told me 2 weeks ago on Sunday Karma, nobody wants to see them in March, despite the fact they have the longest losing streak in the country by like double everybody else.
They got to win the Horizon League tournament to make the dance. Who goes the furthest in Wisconsin? 800-990-ESPN. It's a College Hoops special with Ben Bruss and Alex Stroph. No thanks to Colin Russo. We're late. Next.
Good one tonight. Rich, what? Richmond.
More ESPN Wisconsin College Game Night coming up on ESPN Wisconsin.
I don't know what this show is called, but it's Ben Bruss and Alex Stroph talking college hoops with you at 800-990-3776.
It's ESPN Wisconsin College Game Night.
If I had the ability to produce the show, Stroph would likely be the better lead host of this show. Fair?
I mean, yeah, but it's okay.
I mean, yeah.
I mean, it's
I
all right.
Mean, yeah.
I like your chaos more. Better this one.
The question right now is what we know about both teams, Marquette and Wisconsin. We just discussed it. If you missed any of the show, I would say it might be in WisconsinOnDemand.com, but I know you can watch it back on YouTube at ESPN Milwaukee because we are live there.
It'll be on Wisconsin On Demand. You can find it in the Kyle Breston-Ortman feed, the Varsity feed.
You get to choose where it goes.
I do. I'll probably throw it in the Mr. Irrelevant
Throw
feed.
It everywhere.
Might as well. People need to hear this setting. We're talking real big stuff here.
This is awesome. It's College Hoops in February. Everyone loves College Hoops in February.
Right, because Super Bowl football season is in the books.
And by the way, it was a dud end to the, you know, NFL season in terms
of... Of course it was. That game sucked.
Yeah, and like so like the storylines were already dead. They're like, we got to do something. And this is what we're doing. So Alex Stroph, me and Colin Russo, who just joined us, our good friend from our 106.3 sister station. He does Rizzo Russo over there from 4 to 6. Yeah. He and I think Wisconsin goes further. Not biased. We've had a really legit conversation about both teams and the strengths and why we think they'll go further. The struggles of both teams against bigs have been the
biggest bugaboo?
Linchpin of Ooh. The conversation.
Wow. Vocabulary, Benny.
I look forward to using linchpin the rest of the week on Kyle Bruston-Ortman. Alex Stroph, what say you? Who goes further?
Yeah, I disagree with you guys. I think it's the Marquette Golden Eagles. Here's why. I think it's
gonna
simple
be a tough sell right now to me.
I agree, right? I mean, they're in a rut. But I believe in their coach, I believe in their National Player of the Year candidate, and I believe in the experience. Wisconsin's experience of this current roster is, it's this season, right? I mean, when you look across their leading scorer, John Tonji wasn't on the roster last year. John Blacko was coming off the bench. Steven Crowell's been here forever, but has he won a tournament game? Right? They lost in the first round last year. I trust tournament experience. I trust an experienced head coach. Shaka Smart, just on paper, is been the head coach in many more tournament games than Greg Gard has.
I'm hearing you. Is there more?
I just, at the end of the day, I think March is about players. And Marquette has one of the best in the country in Cam Jones.
Ah, see, that's what scares me, is I agree.
And look, I think
I go back to being worried that if it's one bad Cam Jones game, you're saying David Joplin, Chase Ross, and Stevie Mitchell, we need you to pick up the slack. And can they get through the first round? Absolutely. I don't care who they play. They're good enough to win the first game no matter what. But if they're a 5-4 and they play a quality opponent who's a 4 seed, I'm not saying, oh, that's an automatic Sweet 16 team. Especially if you go through a drought, right? If you go through a drought in a game, I'm scared that if they're not at home, they're not built to come back to win. If we've seen them on the road against St. John struggle to score late. We saw them at home against UConn do the same thing. We just went through DePaul as well, and it's like, not exactly the performance you're looking to have against a bad team without their starting point guard, who's out for the year now, who ironically went to my high school.
Really?
Connor Enright, very good player.
College with a dude named Connor Enright. He's not playing college basketball.
Playing college basketball. But my point here is I feel as if because the Badgers have shown a strength And it's consistent and relied upon, and that is their scoring. It's weird to say out loud. Tanji and Blackwell consistently get to the line. They make free throws. Like, they go on these 7-0 runs like that because they're playing fast. That is something we haven't seen, and that's something where it's like if the Badgers got down like they did against James Madison last year,
yeah,
they weren't built to like come back.
No, they were not, and they are this year.
And they are.
The cool part about the conversation we're having, by the way, and I know you're a Marquette fan this year, but typically you're not. I cheer for both teams except on the day they play. I don't remember the last time we've been able to legitimately have a conversation like this and say, okay, let's fast forward 7 weeks. Spoiler alert. They're both in the Sweet 16. Completely realistic this year. These are two really good basketball teams.
Been a while. I think there were Sweet 16 expectations still last year for the Badgers with the talent that they had had.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, AJ Storr, who we talked about with Colin, was like really good.
Chucky Hepburn is a very good college basketball player.
Still is, by the way, over at Louisville. But I don't know that we thought they were to the level of Marquette a year ago. Like, we thought they were a good team. And
yeah, they were behind
some good
Marquette.
Things.
They were behind Marquette. Despite them beating them head-to-head, they were still behind them.
They were, and despite a really nice showing in the Big Ten tournament getting to the championship game last year. So you thought maybe, okay, they had the momentum. But in terms of when we're talking, it's mid-February right now. I don't remember the last time we've been able to say, okay, both of these teams in the Elite Eight even? I wouldn't be shocked. I wouldn't be floored. These are two top 20 teams in the country. And when you look at the top of college basketball, there's some really good teams, right? There's Duke, who's still coming into their own a little bit with how young they are. Auburn's amazing. Florida's really good.
Houston's very good
again this year.
Tennessee is very good, but they scare me on offense.
I'd probably put Tennessee more in the camp of like, okay, there's everybody else then. You have like 20 good teams.
I don't know. Like, if Tennessee and Marquette were matched up in a neutral site, Tennessee's favored by 5 or 6.
You think that much?
They're so good defensively, they would take away Cam Jones, and they would grind that game out.
And Marquette,
those are my worries.
Marquette's good defensively.
Yes, but I'm not worried about.
But they're not great defensively right now.
Correct. They're not to the standard in which we've grown accustomed to from a Shaka defensive Marquette team. That being said, there's still a lot of ball game left. Still a lot of season left.
Yeah, there is.
Then they need to turn it around for not only fans, but themselves. They think there might be a little bit of a leaking confidence right now that if Cam Jones isn't going off, is David Joplin going to be a high-volume scorer and help get it done? As I believe, I'm getting a feel that our guy Rich Pecker from Spread Eagle might lean towards the Marquette side, because he texted in on the Carbless Talk and text line 800-990-3776. You're going to rely on free throw merchants, Brust? I hear you have concerns of a down Cam game. The counter to that is, what has been consistent and what can be relied upon is if you have the ability to get to the foul line and you've been making them at an historic clip, the Badgers are on a pace to set an NCAA record of free throw percentage. They don't always get there.
They're the best in the country.
They don't get there the most. They get there a lot, but they are hella efficient when they get to the free throw line. That is something you can control, right? There hasn't been a plethora of charge calls that have been driving college basketball fans nuts. They're scoring more. They're trying to get that freedom of play going, and that is translated for the Badgers specifically in the way that they've been able to consistently score at a high level. The worries for both teams, ironically, as you compared them and potentially both being Sweet 16 teams, their bugaboo is bigs.
Mm-hmm.
Both teams. Can Stephen Crowell slow down a more athletic, more skilled big? Can Marquette hang in 40 minutes against a big who could, I mean, because they could beat up on the offensive glass. They had a great showing. I forget who it was. It might have been on the road against St. John's. Where I was like, holy cow. One of their last four games, they had so many offensive rebounds, and it didn't convert. But that's not the norm for them. The norm is that they get out-rebounded because they don't have that size to compete consistently over 40 minutes. So we're letting you be the judge who goes further between Wisconsin and Marquette as it stands now. A lot of ball game left. We'll see if Brian D., the content director, lets us have this show again, and maybe we're having this conversation in a couple weeks.
It was that UConn game, by the way. 17 offensive rebounds.
And found a way to lose at home. That's tough.
Yeah.
That's really tough.
6 games left for Marquette, 7 left for Wisconsin. Both have the opportunity to make an impact. I assume we'll talk a little bit more about that.
Yeah, we can talk a little bit about that. Plus, I did scour ESPN.com and look at the games tonight. It wouldn't be a show with me to end the show if I didn't let you know what kind of scratch I'd have on a game tonight, courtesy of our friends at Pottawatomie Casino Hotel. No weekly wager today, so Strofe and I stepped in to have a little fun. It's Ben Brust and Alex Trofe with the College Basketball Special with you till we decide, but likely 7 o'clock because we don't want to lose our jobs.
We're back with more ESPN Wisconsin College Game Night after this on ESPN Wisconsin.
It is a College Basketball Special with myself, Ben Brust, and Alex Trofe. Kind of pulling the Kyle Wallace role for those of you who listen to Sunday Karma 10 to noon when it was just Craig and Kyle, but now we have 80 hosts on Sunday from 10 to noon.
Talk to you Sunday.
We've been discussing with you, and we put it out on Twitter at ESPN Milwaukee, who goes further in the tournament, Wisconsin or Marquette? Early in the voting, 70% have Wisconsin.
Ooh.
Not shocking based off the play that we discussed throughout the show from Marquette. I think it might be a little bit of recency bias, but there also may be some belief in the new way that the Badgers have been playing.
I mean,
fast tempo and efficient.
So real quick, I don't know if you've fully answered this yet. Are you fully buying into this new brand of basketball that Greg Gard has created out of thin air over the course of one? I mean,
they were building towards it. They went full scale this year.
But I mean, for a guy, and I've told you this several times off the air, for a guy when I talked to him before the season that could have complained about losing the entirety of his roster just about, right? Blackwell, Klesmet, and Crowell are back. That's about it, right? I mean, otherwise you'd backfill 8-9 guys that entered the portal after last season. For a guy that could have complained about this era of college basketball, he's embraced the change, and he's fully changed what this team's identity is in the matter of one season.
I mentioned it earlier. You know why I believe it? Because Greg Gard believes it. When they were playing Iowa, and an Iowa shooter from the left wing missed a back iron three that rolled towards the bench, and there was only a Badger player in sight in a red jersey, normally we would let that ball go out of bounds, and we'd walk it up, use all the clock, and he said, no, grab that ball, and waved him down the floor. He said, get your butt down there. We play fast. We play with rhythm. And I was shocked when I saw it in November when I was in person in Arizona. They scored over 100 points against Arizona.
Why were you there again?
It was the 2014-15 Final Four reunion.
Cool.
I knew you were going to do that. Cool. Set me up. That being said, I was like, huh. They let him score pretty easy. I'd be frustrated as hell if I was a teammate. Like, what is this, like, right hand, right lane line? Like, you don't give that up. It's not in the DNA. But they also, with like 4 minutes to go, were up like 10 to 12. I was like, all right, are they going to simmer down? No, Gardo kept them going. And he's kept that same mentality the entire year. So he's bought in. The players are bought in, which means Benny Bruss is bought in.
Wow, I like to hear that, though. I mean, it's been a really interesting couple of years for this Wisconsin team, right? I mean, they have players that look phenomenal and are finalists for awards like A.J. Storr and Johnny Davis, but what happens come March? They lose in the first round.
It's been since 2017 since this team has made it to a Sweet 16. They missed a grand opportunity when they were in Fiserv Forum here in Milwaukee.
Yeah, against
in
Iowa
the
State.
Round of 32 against Iowa State. Iowa State also, we forgot to mention them, very, very, very quality team. Final four contender for sure. I do have a bet for you. You ready for it?
For tonight?
Yes.
All right, let's hear it.
Ohio State at home at 7:30 on the Big Ten Network. Here's what I need to tell you. UCLA is winless when they've traveled outside of the Pacific time zone. Mick Cronin has
where do you find these?
Mick Cronin, where does Russo find Mississippi Valley State's
fair
schedule from earlier? We find things, we see things, and it stays with us. Mick Cronin complained about the travel, and they've sucked away from Pauley Pavilion or on the West Coast. I look at the Washington Huskies, who are very mid-level, below 500 in the Big Ten, travel not to the Central time zone. Ohio State is in the Eastern time zone. They're going three time zones away. And when they've gone that, because I remember Michigan and Michigan State, although very close to us in distance, just across Lake Michigan, were Eastern time zone games. At Michigan State, 88-54, loss. Michigan, that they were at Michigan, 91-75. Ohio State's been playing much better basketball. One of my best bets that hit, luckily, on Kyle Bruston-Nortman as they came back from down 17 with like 6 minutes left. Unbelievable comeback. That was against a quality opponent. They are now at home against a Washington team that has struggled flying across country in this new Big Ten. Ohio State laying 10.5 is a number that seems scary, but I'm willing to do it knowing that Washington is traveling three time zones away and Ohio State has been playing much better basketball. Strofe, have you scoured for anything to share with the audience?
Yeah, Xavier at Providence. Providence losers of 3 in a row.
It's 5 minutes, so be close to pot. I'll run in, run out.
Oh, yeah, it is in 5 minutes. You're right.
Xavier, 2.5-point favorites on the road. I like them. They're coming off of a bad loss. Zach Fremantle has been awesome for them on the boards and in terms of scoring. I think he has a big night against a weak Providence team. Xavier's still trying to figure out their identity. I think they're a better team than they've played recently. So -2.5, I think they win by double digits on the road tonight.
I like it. I need to see if the fiance is expecting me home ASAP or if the trip to Potawatomi Casino Hotel to cash some of those big game tickets is in my future.
Oh, yeah, you had a good Sunday, didn't you?
I did due to the props. I broke even because I had the under and Philly double dipped and they canceled each other out. But the Jalen Hurts longest rush from Josh DiMaggio plus 800 cashed in quite well. And then shout out to Jen Latta, who gave me the Jalen Hurts plus 150 to throw a touchdown and to rush for a touchdown to get plus money on that. He obviously became the Super Bowl MVP, got tickets to cash. And make sure you check out Potawatomi Casino Hotel in the 2,000 square foot video wall, because if you haven't checked it out, you're going to want to scope it out and you're going to want to find your seat that you love, because there's going to be basketball galore on the TV in February and in March. It is the best time of year to have multiple screens. It's when I get in trouble, Strofe. As soon as my fiance goes to a bachelorette party, I bring up the two TVs from downstairs, and I have three.
The bachelor setup?
I have three in the family living area that I have to bring down before she comes home. Man, I sound like I don't have a backbone.
Yeah, no, you really don't. Okay, quick. We got less than 60 seconds. Duke, we've mentioned them. Very good. Obviously, local kid Con Knipple on that team. I saw on ESPN.com today, mock draft. Sixth overall. How good has he been?
He's actually coming along, and I figured this would be the case. The transition from high school to college is always different. It took him time, but now that he's got rhythm and he's got confidence, the sky's the limit. The sky's the limit for the kid.
Him and Cooper
Flagg.
Unbelievable.
I'm not going to lie. I'm selling Duke in the tournament.
Really?
I think the soft ACC schedule will end up biting them when they face real teams, and depending on matchups, and you know
they see an SEC team. Watch out!
A 1-8-8-9 SEC team, right? Faces Duke, they can go down. It's been Ben Brust and Alex Strofe. I had fun, did you?
Yeah, it was all right.
Just all right.
We'll do it again tomorrow.
We gotta go, so we can talk to you tomorrow on Kyle Brust and Ortman. See ya.